So today we will be doing some readings. We have already been doing some readings and we'll continue readings about Srimati Radharani so that we can fathom some degree of her great qualities. So understand, we finished with the explanation of Shyamakund and Radhakund, the appearance of Radhakund and Shyamakund, chapter 19. Now we'll do chapter 20. Chapter 20 is entitled Lalita and Krishna in a Swing Festival. This is a very nice pastime between Radharani, Lalita and Krishna. Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this chapter is entitled Lalita and Krishna in a Swing Festival. Narad Muni, being a great devotee of the Lord, was visiting Srimati Radharani regularly. Krishna noticed these frequent visits and warned Radharani that she should be careful about associating too closely with Narada Muni, as he was very expert in instigating disputes between people. We all know this about Radharani, about Narada Muni. And Narada Muni has this great ability that he can travel anywhere, including the spiritual world, and come back to the material world. He is the all-time greatest preacher of Krishna's glories, and therefore he has that power. Krishna's apprehension was that Narada might also create some misunderstanding between Srimati Radharani and himself, and thus create quarrel. But Radharani did not take Krishna's words seriously. She was thinking that her love for Krishna was so strong that no one could create any kind of dispute between her and Krishna. Krishna said, "Obviously, you do not care for my warning, but one day you will see the result of your association with Radharani." With Narada Muni, sorry. Once Narada Muni visited Brajabhumi playing on his veena. Pleased with Narada's beautiful music, Krishna wanted to give him a boon. Narada Muni said, "Now I do not have any wish to be fulfilled, but please keep your offer for the future." He asked for a rain check. "Whenever I am in need of your favor, I will ask for it." One day, all the Sakhis arranged a swing festival for Radha and Krishna near Lalita Kund. A swing was prepared and decorated gorgeously, and all the Sakhis, along with Krishna, were ready. Srimati Radharani, however, had not yet arrived. Everyone was waiting for her. Without her, the festival could not begin. At this time, Narada Muni happened to reach there. The Muni asked, "What arrangements are these? What is the occasion?" The Sakhis replied, "We have prepared a swing festival for Radha and Krishna. Everything is ready, but Radharani has not come. We are all waiting her arrival, awaiting her arrival." Then Narada Muni went to Sri Krishna and told him, "My dear Lord, do you remember one day you granted me a wish, and I told you that I will ask for it when I need it? Today, I have a special desire. If you will kindly oblige me, I will be very grateful." So now he wants his boon. Krishna said, "Of course, Naradji, I remember my promise, and so today I will grant you your wish. Please tell me, what is your desire?" Narada Muni said, "I long to see the pastime of you and Lalita swinging together." Krishna said, "Oh, but that is easily arranged. Sri Radha is delayed. In the meantime, Lalita and I can swing together." Lalita, however, did not wish to swing with Krishna. She wanted only to see her beloved Sakhi Radharani singing with Krishna. The gopis are very, very chaste. They are always very supportive of Radharani. Krishna, seeing Lalita's hesitation, pulled her hand and by force made her sit next to him on the swing. And the Sakhis swung them both. Narada Muni and the gopis were happy to observe Lalita and Krishna swinging together. Narada Muni suddenly left the place and went to the home of Srimati Radharani. Free to wander anywhere he pleases, he went straight to Radharani's room, where she was dressing in preparation for the swing festival. This is the power of Narada Muni. He can do that. Even Krishna can't do that. Krishna can't immediately enter the room of Radharani. The gopis will be there, they'll stop him. No way he can get in until she says, let him in, then he can come. But Narada Muni is so powerful, he can go right in, wherever he wants to go. This is the power of Narada Muni. Narada said to Radharani, what are you doing here? Radharani replied, I am preparing for the swing festival with Sri Krishna. My sakis have arranged it near Lalita Kund. Narada said, you are preparing for the swing festival? You know what is happening there? Krishna is already engaged in a swing festival with Lalita. Radharani could not believe that Lalita would enjoy a swing festival with Krishna. But Narada said, so then, you go and see for yourself what is happening there. Radharani immediately went to Lalita Kund, and from a distance, she saw Lalita and Krishna swinging together. Radharani became very angry and ran away from the Kund. Meanwhile, Krishna and all the Sakhis were waiting for Radharani, but still she did not arrive. Krishna understood there must be some problem and that had caused her delay. He thought to ask Narada Muni, but looking around the Kund, he noticed that Narada had disappeared. Then Krishna knew that Narada must have been doing something, and so he went in search for Radharani himself. After some time, he found Sri Radha sitting in a kunja in a very angry mood, crying. He went to her and tried to pacify her, but she would not hear anything he had to say. Krishna said, Radharani, what are you doing here? We have been waiting for you for so long. All the sakis are awaiting your arrival. Why are you sitting here crying? Radharani, being very angry, said, why do you need me? You are swinging with Lalita. Be happy swinging with her. You do not need me there. Krishna asked Radha, how do you know that I am swinging with Lalita? Radharani said, I heard it from Narada Muni. Then Krishna realized that Narada had created this situation. He told Radharani, just see how Narada has fooled you. I had granted Narada one wish. Today he came and requested me to fulfill his desire of seeing Lalita and I swing together. Since your arrival was delayed, to make Narada happy, Lalita and I swung together. Lalita did not want to swing with me at all, but I forced her just to make Narada happy. But after putting us on the swing, he has come here and informed you of this, causing you to become upset. I had warned you before to be careful with Narada and not associate with him too closely. He's very expert in making people quarrel with each other. Krishna warned Radharani not to trust Narada in the future. Radharani smiled to hear this explanation from Krishna, and together they went to Lalita Kund to swing together. Jai Radharani ki jai, Lalita Sakhi ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Chapter 21. Lalita ties the cloth of Radharani and Krishna. Once, Sri Krishna was grazing cows in the forest. The beautiful scent of flowers in the surrounding forest kunjas was attractive and bewildered Krishna's mind. He played on his flute, calling the name of Radharani again and again. The sound of Radharani's name caused his body to fill with symptoms of ecstasy, and tears flowed from his eyes. Looking upon a tree, Krishna asked, please tell me where my Pranapriya Radha. Where is my Pranapriya Radha? I am searching for her. Please pacify me by giving me news of her. But the tree did not reply. Krishna stood near the forest path where his beloved Radha would come, watching and waiting. Soon Radharani and her sakis reached the kunja. Her pet parrot, Sarika, gave Radharani the news that Krishna was crying pathetically and longing to see her. When Radharani heard the news, she started to cry and search for Krishna. She said, where is my Pranapriya Krishna? Please give me your darshan, just once. Crying thus, Radharani ran to her Pranavallabha. When Radha and Krishna met, they embraced, and blissful in the ecstasy of meeting. They embraced, blissful in the ecstasy of meeting. They shouldn't have put the end there. They lost external consciousness. At that time, Lalita came and tied a knot in the cloth of both Radha and Krishna, then left the kunja. After some time, Radha and Krishna sat on a jeweled seat surrounded by their sakis, who were joking and laughing with Yugala Kishore. When Krishna found the knot that tied his and Radharani's cloth together, so they very nicely tied the cloth. Who has put this knot in our cloth? Who has done this most wonderful deed? My heart and Radharani's heart are bound together always. Today, someone has caused this internal condition to manifest externally by tying a knot in our cloth. Lalita Sakhi said, O Krishna, this is a special symptom of love. When love arises within someone, then he loses his external sense. At that time, when he is in his great ecstasy of Premananda, the bliss of love, internal hidden subjects manifest externally. Then he forgets himself and causes others to forget also. That is the reason there is a knot in your cloth. The speech by Lalita gave great pleasure to Radha and Krishna and their sakis, who all laughed in happiness. This pastime occurred in a place called Ganthuli in Braja. Chapter 22. Sri Krishna enacts Raghunath Leela at Kamyaban. Kamyaban is a very special forest in Vrindavan, Braja. In Braja there are 12 forests, and the most important of them is Vrindavan. But another very, very important forest is the forest of Kamyaban. Kamyaban is the place where all desires are fulfilled, and so devotees actually go to Kamyaban and pray to a deity of Lord Shiva, who is known as Kamyaban Mahadev, and for the boon that they may fulfill the desire of their spiritual master and be able to carry out their service perfectly. And so Lord Shiva grants that boon, and therefore devotees are able to very nicely serve in the Hare Krishna movement under the guidance of their spiritual master. So one day Radha and Krishna, along with all the sakis, were engaged in playful activities. They all reached the bank of a pond surrounded by many beautiful trees, where birds were making sweet sounds. Radha and Krishna sat down there, and their sakis surrounded them. Monkeys were jumping from branch to branch and thus enjoying the beautiful atmosphere. Some of them crossed the pond to offer obeisances to Krishna. Some made different kinds of sounds. Seeing this, Lalita told Vishakha, in ancient times, Ramachandra had lost Sita Devi. With the help of many monkeys, he searched for her all throughout the forest. Finally, hearing the message from one bird of Sita Devi's kidnapping by the demon Ravana, Lord Ramachandra wanted to fight with Ravana to rescue Sita Devi. But Ramachandra could not fight with Ravana, as the demon lived in Lanka across the ocean. No one is able to cross the ocean to reach this demon, and thus he remained unchallenged. I have heard from wise old people that Hanuman, Lord Ramachandra's loyal servant, was able to cross the ocean. When Krishna heard this, he said, Lalite, I am the Lord Raghunatha. Just see how all these monkeys are crossing the pond to offer their obeisances at my lotus feet. I am that same Lord Rama. Hearing Krishna speak like this, the sakis looked at Radharani and laughed. They said, Nanda Nandana, why are you speaking of impossible things? Ramachandra is the most powerful archer, the famous son of Maharaj Dasharatha, by the sound of whose bow the three worlds will tremble. He knew of no woman but Sita Devi. You are telling us that you are the same Raghunatha? It is impossible, because Krishna is always eyeing the other gopis. Lord Ramachandra was not like that at all. Lord Ramachandra was very, very faithful to Mother Sita. So externally it looked like Krishna had so many paramours. Sri Krishna said, Lalite, the only difference between Raghunatha and I is the name. That time I was the son of Dasharatha. I would know of nothing except Sita. Now I am the son of Sri Brajaraja. Now I always enjoy with Radharani. Previously, by my arrow, the whole three worlds would tremble. Now, by the sound of my flute, all animate and inanimate entities are trembling. Thus, Ramachandra and I are the same person. Only the bodies are different. This is actually a fact. This is actually a fact. Lalita said, Raghunath created a bridge of stones on the water, and he crossed the ocean to reach Lanka. Can you make a bridge on top of this pond? Let us see if you can show us. If you can show us this, then we will believe that you are non-different from Raghunatha. Otherwise, we cannot believe it. Krishna said, very well, you all go and bring stones, and I will make a bridge over the pond. The Sakis said, if you are Ramachandra, then order those monkeys to bring the stones. Why do you order us to bring the stones to you? So, Sri Krishna ordered all the monkeys to bring stones. The monkeys immediately brought many stones and gathered on the bank of the pond. Krishna, looking upon the lotus feet of Radharani, said, O Radhe, if you are my real Pranapriya, only then I will be able to build this bridge. He's taking the mercy of Radharani so that he can build the bridge. Taking her blessings. You can see how powerful Radharani is. Krishna then picked up the stones and one by one threw them into the pond. All the stones floated on the water due to the touch of Lord Krishna's hands. Very soon he completed the bridge and walked over it to meet with Radharani. Vishakha said, now I understand your trick. Krishna said, trick? I built this bridge of stones right in front of you. What trick did I play here? I am God. Everything is possible for me. You are simply cowherd girls. How can you know my glories and greatness? These are not simple cowherd girls. These cowherd girls are actually Krishna's gurus. They can actually teach Krishna. Each of them is so powerful. Hearing this from Krishna, Lalita laughed and said, O Nanda Nandana, those who are Shakti worshippers can do things like this by their power. Even Shakti worshippers can do this by their power. This is just simple magic. Anybody can do this. Those who are Shakti, you know, the Shaktas in India, those who do Tantra, have tantric power, they can do this. Sometimes they walk on a thin rope suspended in air, holding a water pot on their heads. Just a thin rope suspended in air. It's not tied to anything. And then they'll walk on it with a water pot on their head. So that's even greater, right? Walking on a stone on water, that's not so great. So then she says, when these Shakti worshippers do things like this, people may think that it is true, but in reality, they are just tricks. You have also made this bridge due to that power. You have received from Shakti Devi. This is nothing other than your tricks. All the Sakis laughed to hear this from Lalita. In this way, the Lord performed his Madhurya Leela by showing his Aishwarya. This pastime took place in Kamivan. Chapter 23. Mother Yashoda rubs turmeric on Srimati Radharani's hands. Mother Yashoda loves Radharani very much. She wanted her to marry Krishna. One day Radharani was at Nandagram. Mother Yashoda smeared Radharani's hands with turmeric. The custom was that when the parents of the proposed bride and groom agreed that their children would marry, then the bride's hands would be smeared with turmeric. Even today, in our culture, this happens. When Radharani saw her yellow hands, she was very embarrassed and wondered how she would hide them from others. She ran to a nearby pond, eager to remove the turmeric before she returned to her home. As she washed her hands, the entire pond turned yellow in color. The pond is now known as Pila Pukkur. Pila meaning yellow. Pukkur means pond and Pila means yellow. The water of this pond is still yellow even today. Chapter 24. The Pearl Tree at Muktakund. While Radharani was washing the turmeric from her hand in the pond, some people saw her and informed her parents. Vrishabhanu and Kirtidev were so happy to hear that Yashoda had put turmeric paste on the hands of their daughter, thus announcing her engagement to Sri Krishna. that they immediately sent a plate of precious jewels and gems to Nanda and Yashoda in honor of their future relationship. Nanda and Yashoda were very happy to receive these jewels and gems. But when Mother Yashoda realized that to accept the proposal of marriage, they had to send a plate of precious jewels and gems to Radharani's parents too. But they did not have the jewels and the gems. When Krishna came to know about this problem his mother was facing, he took the jewels sent by Vrishabhanu and Kirtida and planted them in the ground. Very soon, trees grew from the ground, the branches heavy with precious jewels. Happily, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda sent the jewels to Radharani's parents, and thus the marriage was agreed upon. Sometime later, Nanda and Yashoda went to Purnamashi to receive a blessings for the union. Purnamashi told them, if Radharani and Krishna marry at this particular time, then their marriage will not last. Maybe in the future they can be married depending on their astrological charts. And so the marriage was stopped. Chapter 25. Krishna breaks Radharani's yogurt pot. Srimati Radharani, along with her sakis, used to go out on the pretext of selling milk in the market at Mathura, carrying yogurt in clay pots on their heads. Sri Krishna and her friends would hide along the way, and when Radharani and the gopis approached, Krishna would block their path and speak to them with pleasant words. He would make them put down their pots from their heads and by force eat all the cream from the top of the yogurt. The sakis were harassed like this almost every day. One day they called a meeting and had a serious discussion. Lalita told Radharani, O Sri Radhike, every day this most naughty boy Krishna is obstructing our path and eating all the cream from the top of the yogurt. Thus we are unable to sell our yogurt because no one wants to buy it without the cream on the top. You can see how degraded we are today. We'll all buy as much yogurt as we can without no cream on the top. Thus we are unable to sell our yogurt because no one wants to buy it without the cream on the top. Today we should go to Mathura via a different path. Today we shall go through Shankari Kole, a path in between two mountains. That path is very isolated and Krishna will never know. He will be waiting on the other road. We will go to Mathura safely and Krishna, being unsuccessful by not meeting with us, will go back to his house. All the gopis liked Lalita Sakhi's proposal. Radharani and her sakis put the yogurt pot on their heads and started along the newly chosen path. All cognizant, Lord Krishna knew the plan of the gopis, and instead of waiting on the path, usually taken by Radharani and Sakis, Krishna went to Shankari Kole. Accompanied by his suckers, Krishna climbed on top of a tree and awaited the arrival of Radharani. Meanwhile, all the gopis were proceeding through Shankari Kole without any fear or apprehension. This time they were thinking, no problem. From the top of the tree, Krishna could see Radharani in the distance. He and his sakas hid themselves inside the tree and waited there quietly. As soon as Radharani reached there, Krishna came down from the tree and blocked her path. There was a big quarrel between the gopis and Krishna's sakas. Krishna was trying to reach the yogurt pot on the head of Sri Radhika, but she managed to fend off his advances. Sri Radha told him, you have been eating the cream from our yogurt every day. As a result, the yogurt has not been sold. O Lampata, let us pass. It is getting too late. We have to go very far and sell our yogurt all the way to Mathura. Don't harass us like this every day. While speaking those words to Krishna, Sri Radha was trying to move around him and proceed on her way. When Krishna saw Radharani continue along the path without caring about him, he became angry. Picking up a stone, he aimed it at the pot on the top of the head of Srimati Radharani. The yogurt pot broke and its contents spilled all over the body of Radharani and onto the ground. Sri Krishna and his friends collected the yogurt from the ground and happily ate it, dancing in ecstasy. You know, when he was a small boy, he used to eat The earth anyway, he used to eat soil anyway. So now the earth is mixed with yogurt. This pastime took place during the month of Chaitra at Krishnastami Tithi. Till today, devotees are celebrating this pastime of Sri Radha and Krishna in Barshana. Chapter 26. The peacock form of Krishna. One day, while staying in Barshana, Srimati Radharani was unable to go to the house of Nanda Maharaj to cook for Krishna. Sri Krishna felt very sad that he would not see Sri Radha, and so he went to Barshana, hoping that he might get a glimpse of her there. He climbed on top of a hill, and from there looked upon the house of King Brishabhanu, expecting to have darshan of Radharani, but she was nowhere to be seen. Then Krishna started to make a sound like a peacock, calling out Srimati Radharani. When Radharani heard the sound from inside the palace, she could understand that this was not the sound of a real peacock, but the voice of her beloved Krishna. She thought to herself, Krishna is calling out to me, but my mother may come to know about this, that it is Krishna and not a real peacock. And so, without informing Mother Kirtida, Radha left the palace and went searching for Krishna, following the sound of his peacock call. After some time, Radha and Krishna met at the top of the hill. Both of them were in ecstasy to meet with each other. They entered into a cave in a very solitary place. Radharani sat down and Sri Krishna lay on the ground, resting his head on the lap of Radharani. Radharani was caressing Krishna's body very affectionately while speaking different loving subjects with him. Meanwhile, Mother Kirtida realized she had not seen her daughter for a long time. She became worried and searched for Radharani all over the palace, but she was nowhere to be found. In great anxiety for her daughter's safety, Mother Kirtida went in search of Radharani. Seeing her footprints outside the palace, Kirtida followed them to the top of the hill, reaching the entrance to the cave where Radha and Krishna were exchanging loving talks. At the moment Kirtida arrived at the mouth of the cave, Sri Krishna was lying on the ground with his head resting on the thigh of Radharani, facing the entrance of the cave. Radharani was gazing upon the beautiful face of Sri Krishna and talking with him while affectionately caressing his body. Kirtida entered the cave but could not see Radha and Krishna in the darkness. Krishna, however, could see Kirtida. He knew that the cave had only one entrance and that there was no place inside the cave to hide. When he realized that there was no way to escape, Krishna accepted the form of a peacock. Thus to Kirtida it appeared a peacock was lying on the ground with its head resting on the thigh of Srimati Radharani, who was stroking the peacock affectionately and talking to it in a sweet and loving way. Kirtida said, Radha, what are you doing alone here? What are you doing alone in here? I did not see you in the house for a long time, and I was very worried. I came here searching for you, following your footsteps. Radharani said, I was feeling bored sitting all the time inside the house. I came here and saw this peacock, and so now I'm just sitting here stroking him. Mother Kirtida said, it is already noontime. Let us go back home. You must eat your lunch now. Parents are always very, very mindful that the children should eat on time. Radharani lifted the peacock from her thigh and gently placed him on the ground. With great sadness, she returned to the palace along with her mother. There she took a bath, ate her lunch, and rested. Krishna transformed from his peacock form to his Om Shyama Sundar form and returned to his house for lunch also. Chapter 27, The Marriage of Radha and Krishna in Bandharivana. Bandharivan. Once Nanda Maharaj was going to a forest near Nandagram to graze the cows. He took with him his little son Krishna, for whom he had great affection and attachment. Nanda Maharaj let all the cows graze in the forest and was taking rest with Krishna under a banyan tree. At that time, Krishna wanted to exhibit some special pastime. All of a sudden, there was a heavy storm with thunder and lightning. Many trees were uprooted, and the branches from other trees were breaking off and flying through the air. Nanda Maharaj became worried about how to return home with his little boy and how to take care of all the cows. Krishna was very afraid of the storm and was clinging to Nanda Maharaj's neck in fear. Then in the distance, Nanda Maharaj saw Radharani approaching. He was surprised to see her alone in a forest. With tears in his eyes and with great devotion, he said to her, "O Radhe, I have heard about you from Garga Muni. You are very dear to Sri Hari, who loves you more than Lakshmi Devi. I know your swarup very well, O most gentle one. Please take your husband with you. After fulfilling your desire, kindly return him to his mother Yashoda at our house in Gokula. Then return to your home, to your own home." This is how much Nanda Maharaj had trusted Radharani in terms of her strength. He knew that Radharani was so powerful, nobody could do a thing to Radharani. So he's entrusting his son to him now. Saying this, Nanda Maharaj delivered baby Krishna into the hands of Radharani, who was smiling very gently. Then Sri Radharani told Nanda Maharaj, "Due to your previous Sukriti, you have been able to see both of us together. You have understood us due to the mercy of Garga Muni. Do not reveal this to anyone else. I am very pleased with you. You may ask any boon you want from me." Radha and Krishna's pastimes are not easy to understand by any stroke of the imagination. Only by the grace of Krishna and Radharani and their designated authorities can one actually understand these pastimes. Nanda Maharaj replied, "O Radhe, if you are pleased with me, then kindly give me the blessing by which my mind will be attached to the lotus feet of both of you. After leaving this body, I will not have to take birth again. I can stay with you both eternally." That's the boon that he asks, that he not have to take birth again and stay with Radha and Krishna eternally. Radharani was very pleased to hear this. She said, "Life after life, you will remain our devotee. You will have steady devotion to us. Always meditate upon our lotus feet. At the end of your life, you will be promoted to Goloka and stay with us there eternally." Look at the power of Radharani. After receiving the blessing from Radharani, Nanda Maharaj said, "Dear Radhe, just see, more and more clouds are gathering in the sky. The whole forest is becoming dark. My son Krishna is becoming very scared. He is afraid of going home in the darkness. Please take Krishna with you and give him to his mother Yashoda in our house." Radharani complied with Nanda Maharaj's request, and carrying the baby Krishna in her hands, she started towards Gokula. She reached a kunja on the bank of the river Yamuna. There she remembered the Rasa Mandala, which, summoned by her memory, appeared there immediately with platforms made from gems, hundreds of golden kalashas, and gardens, lakes, and playing grounds. The air was filled with the scent of chandana, camphor, kumkuma, and other exotic fragrances. Many beautiful works of art graced the kunja, and golden kalashas, some filled with scented water, some with betel nuts, were placed here and there. Remember when Rupanuga Prabhu was reading this morning, he's pronouncing betel nuts as betel nuts. In the United States, they pronounce them as betel nuts. The British pronounce it as betel nuts. Radharani then realized that Krishna had disappeared. "Where is my Pranamata?" she cried. Then in front of her, Krishna appeared in his youthful form, his most beautiful lotus face filled with a sweet smile. He was effulgent like the full moon. So Krishna took his Keshoriya Roop. Because she was in her Keshoriya Roop, so he took his Keshoriya Roop. The yellow garments at his waist made him look very beautiful. His lotus feet were decorated with heavy golden ankle bells. His arms were adorned with bangles made from precious gems. His ears were beautified by Makara Kundala, earrings in the shape of sharks. On his chest hung the Kaustubha gem. His whole body defeated the radiant beauty of fresh rain clouds. His face was like a fully blossomed lotus in the month of autumn. Krishna's head was decorated with a peacock feather. The Lord was smiling very gently and was looking very attractive. Radharani became attracted to that most beautiful form of Krishna. Krishna said to her, "O dear Radhe, now I will fulfill my promise to you which I made in Goloka. You are very dear to me, more dear than my life itself. There is no difference between you and me. just as the whiteness of milk cannot be separated from milk, so you can never be separated from me. It's actually true. Radha and Krishna are one soul, two bodies. As soon as someone utters the syllable Ra, immediately I give him steady devotion. As soon as the syllable Dha escapes one's mouth, I run after him to hear the sound vibration. Look at the power of the name Radha. Whoever utters your name, I become more attracted to them than he who worships me with Sodosha Upachara. Brahma, Shiva, Shesha, Narayana, Kapila, Ganesha, Dharma, Kartikeya, Savitri, Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati, all of them are like my life, but you are more than my life to me. All of them stay in different places, but you stay in my heart always. You can see how from Krishna's point of view, all of these personalities are very close to him. He loves them very dearly, all of them. Look at the names he said. Brahma, Shiva, Sesha, Narayan, Kapila, Ganesh, Dharma, Kartikeya, Savitri, Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati. So, some of the names he gave. Of course, he has many more persons like that. After hearing these words from Lord Krishna, Radharani said, "Oh my Lord, you are simply trying to bewilder me by saying that I am greater than Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. You are saying this just to captivate me. But in fact, no one is greater than you. No one can be equal to your beauty, nor match the greatness of your good qualities. I knew it very well when I was in Goloka. I am simply a maid servant of your lotus feet. Why are you saying that I am greater than you? You are the supreme controller of all creations and the controller of all controllers. All others are your plenary portions and the portions of your plenary portions. They are engaged in creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe simply by following your divine order. You reciprocate with your devotees according to their devotion. Many ladies have been bewildered by your illusory power. Because I am your consort, I cannot tell or tolerate separation from you." After hearing this from Radharani, Krishna said, "O Radhike, please wait here for a moment. I will fulfill your desire." Then Krishna remembered Brahma in his mind. As soon as he remembered Brahma, Brahma immediately arrived there from Satyaloka. He offered his humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna and offered many prayers. Then he offered his humble obeisances to Srimati Radharani. He washed the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani with the water he was carrying in his kamandalu. Then standing before her, Brahma said, "O Bhagavati, Krishna Priya, please accept my humble obeisances. I have received darshan of your lotus feet due to the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. I perform severe austerities for 60,000 years on the banks of the Pushkara lake, meditating upon your lotus feet and meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The Lord, being pleased with me, appeared in front of me and ordered me to ask any boon I want. Immediately I asked the Lord, 'O my Lord, if you are pleased with me, then kindly allow me to see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani.'" And today we get to see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This is Lord Brahma after 60,000 years of his time, not our time, of his time. His one day is equivalent to our 8,640,000,000 years. 60,000 years of his time, he prayed to Krishna so that he can be given a boon. And when he was given the boon he wanted was to have darshan of Radharani's lotus feet. Does that tell us how powerful the darshan of the lotus feet of Radharani's feet are? This is why yesterday, you might have noticed in the night, there were so many devotees here, right? Because they knew that was the first chance they were going to have to see Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So they all came. So today we all have that fortune as well. Then Krishna told me, "O my dear one, at some time your desire will be fulfilled. You will see her next to me." Saying this, my Lord disappeared from there, seeing Radharani's lotus feet with Krishna next to him. Now I see my Lord has fulfilled my desire by allowing me this great darshan of your lotus feet. O my mother, you have appeared from the left side of Lord Krishna. You are equal to him in all respects. I do not know of any Vedic literature that claims any difference between Radha and Krishna. She is equally God. She is completely God as much as Krishna is. And as much as he's beyond God, she's also beyond God. Because the God is usually, Narayan is usually considered God. Krishna is beyond that conception. The Vedas have been described by me. By reading these Vedas, people become very learned. But even the Vedas are not able to glorify Radharani. Thus the glories of Radharani are not known to learned people. What to speak of common persons understanding your greatness? Even learned people can't understand Radharani's greatness. Who is able to describe your glories? Even myself and Lord Mahadev, Ananta and Dharmadeva do not know fully your unlimited glories. O Devi, please do not blame me for my incapability. Please excuse me, or excuse us, please excuse us as parents excuse their children if they commit offenses. Brahma stood silently before Srimati Radharani and Krishna with folded hands. Radharani was very pleased. She told Brahma that he should ask any boon from her. Brahma asked Radharani, if you are pleased with me, then kindly bless me so that my mind will always be fixed at your lotus feet. That's why a lot of people take photographs of Radharani's lotus feet on this day, and they keep that right next to their bed so that they will always see Radharani's lotus feet. Anybody who has darshan daily of Radharani's lotus feet, your life will have no problems in it. It will only be filled with great fortune. If you have any problems, it's Krishna playing games with you. That's all. Radharani said, let it be so. Brahma offered his obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and Sri Radharani. After this, by the order of Lord Krishna, Brahma collected wood for a fire sacrifice and prepared for a yajna in a solitary place in the forest. Lord Krishna and Radharani went to sit next to the yajna kund. The fire was lit and Brahma offered oblation and chanted Vedic mantras. Radharani and Krishna circumambulated the yajna kund 7 times. They did the fera. Lost the place. When they sat, Brahma put their hands together and bound them while chanting proper Vedic mantras. Following the order of Brahma, Radharani placed a garland of Parijat flowers on the neck of Lord Sri Krishna. Then Krishna also put one garland on the neck of Radharani. Radharani sat on the left side of Krishna. Then Brahma paid his respects and offered Radharani to the hand of Lord Sri Krishna. He stood in front of them with folded hands, putting his head down, just like a father of a girl approaches very humbly while offering his daughter to his son-in-law. Thus Brahma offered Radharani unto Sri Krishna and glorified them to his heart's content. All the demigods were watching while Brahma was arranging the marriage of Radha and Krishna. In ecstasy, they all played different kinds of instruments, like the dundubi and the drums, and sprinkled flowers from the sky. Gandharvas sang beautiful songs while all heavenly denizens danced. After the marriage of Radha and Krishna, Brahma asked Lord Sri Krishna, O my Lord, Radhapati, I became the priest of your marriage, but what about my dakshina? Please give me devotion unto the lotus feet of both of you as my dakshina. This is what we should be asking from Radha and Krishna when we see them. After being thus blessed by Lord Krishna with steady devotion, Brahma offered his obeisances and left for his planet, Satyaloka. Jai, Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji ki, jai. Shri Mati Radha Rani ki, jai. Shri Radhastami Mahatsava ki, jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande.